My name is David Mason. I'm an antiquary bookseller. I first got to know Irving Layton in the early 70s when he and Aviva would drop into my shop occasionally. Later, Irving would bring me things from time to time when he needed money. Sometimes I could sell them, and sometimes I arranged to give them to an institution for a tax credit. Either way, we would usually have a lunch or a drink. For many years now, I've joked that I bought Irving's library every time he got a divorce to help pay for it. This is only partly true. I did buy some of his books when he and Aviva parted, and I bought more when the Bernstein divorce occurred. They were all books of little intrinsic value. Political books, standard texts of poets, mostly shabby and well-thumbed. But most important to me, they were all annotated by Irving and usually signed. Often they contained poems in Irving's hand. And I would guess that, like many compulsive readers, Irving would no more exit his home without a book in his pocket than he would leave without his keys or wallet. That way, when the muse struck, he could write the divine message on the end paper. These notes allowed me to pay a good price for his books. I kept them together, labeled as Layton's books, adding about $5 or so to each for Irving's ownership marks. After 6 months, I'd only sold one. Finally, I got angry, and cursing the stupidity of Canadians, I took them all off the shelf and packed them away. Later, when I bought his library again during the Bernstein divorce, I did the same. Many of the books I bought from Irving were inscribed in by other poets, often acknowledging his influence and their gratitude. Having a modest collection of Layton's books myself, I once bought from a colleague in the States 3 books of Irving's, which he had inscribed and presented to Jonathan Williams, who was the publisher of the Improved Binoculars. This was Layton's first major book published in the States, and it had a preface by William Carlos Williams, which established his international reputation. Pleased at finding them, and thinking Irving might like to see them again, I showed them to him. He was not amused, he was livid. "He sold those books?" he roared in disbelief. "I gave him those. I treated him like a son, and he sold my books? What treachery." "But Irving," I countered, "you've sold me hundreds of other poets' books that they inscribed to you. Isn't that the same?" "Of course it's not," he bellowed. "They weren't great poets." Sometime in that period, I had a rather precipitous domestic breakup, one of those where you leave quickly with no place to go. So I found myself living for a few months in the back of my store. I bought a slab of foam and built a bed in a cubbyhole, using as the base the boxes which contained Irving's books. Sometime later, I became involved with a new woman, and we took to using what I called my Layton bed for our courtship rituals. Thinking Irving might be amused, I told him in one of my letters what we were using his books for. I still have his reply, so I'll quote you part of it. "David, let me say here and now that I am infinitely touched by your account of the Layton bed. Those cartons filled with my books could not have been put to better use than to serve as a mattress for your betrothed and yourself. During the passionate lovemaking, didn't some of the cartons burst into flame? It pleases me to imagine that there was a sudden luminous eruption that enveloped the two of you and clearly and forever showed you the one infallible road to true happiness." Aside from being pure Irving, I think his observation was also pure truth. Irving's reputation is not at a very high level now, especially in his own country. But people like me who deal in hundreds of years of literature know that time and history always brings the cream to the top, while the superficially popular sinks with hardly a trace. Irving's time will come. Remember, Blake was considered an imbecile in his time, and Melville was 50 years dead before Moby Dick became the great American novel. For myself, I believe, as did Irving himself, that he is our greatest poet yet. And I feel honored to have had the small contact with him that I had. And I don't care that so far I haven't sold more than a few of the books I brought from him. I liked and admired Irving enormously, and my memories of our meetings are the only profit I care about. Thank you.